Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. Are we there? This is part of the Sermon on the Mount, so it's Jesus who's speaking. You have heard that it was said to people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Verse 23. Therefore, if you are offering your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Verse 25. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. In verses 21 and 22, look at them, Jesus began this passage of Scripture by dealing with the subject of anger. He then goes on through the rest of this passage and he explains to us how we are to handle anger toward two groups of people. First group, in verse 23 and 24, he explains how we are to handle anger toward those who are our brothers, our brethren. And secondly, in verse 25 and 26, Jesus explains to us how we are to handle our anger toward one who is our adversary, that is, our enemy. Now this morning, I want us to center in on verse 23 and 24, on how we are to handle anger, how we are to handle situations that arise between ourselves and our brother. Look again at verse 23 and 24. Therefore, that is based on what he just said about anger, here's how you deal with it with your brother. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First is a reference of priority. Brethren, there are some things in life that take priority over everything else. One of the priorities of life is our relationship with each other. First, go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. The Bible teaches us over and over again that there is a direct connection between our relationship with God and our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. In 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 20, John says that if a man says, I love God, that's our relationship with God, but hates his brother, that's our relationship with our brother. John says that he is a liar. For how can one say that he hates his brother whom he has seen and then love God whom he has not seen? In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment? In verse 37, Jesus says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Jesus says, and the second commandment is just like the first one, love your neighbor as yourself. Brethren, what the Bible teaches unmistakably is that we cannot be right with God and wrong with people. The Bible teaches that there is a very specific correlation between our relationship with God and our relationship with our brother. But what Jesus sets forth in our text is that there is also a very specific correlation between our worship of God and our relationship with our brethren. Now, when you read this passage, and when you step back from it, the one thing that is the more obvious than anything else is that what Jesus is saying is coming out of a Jewish background. In verse 23, Jesus talks about taking your offering or taking your sacrifice to the altar. Now, when those words fell out of his mouth, every Jew knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. In order to make a sacrifice, you needed two things. First of all, you had to have an animal. That animal was a lamb. If you were poor, you could offer up either a dove or a pigeon, but you needed an animal. The second thing you needed to make a sacrifice was a priest, and the priest would offer the sacrifice for you. But what Jesus says is that if you take your animal, your sacrifice, and if you go to the altar to make your sacrifice to God, and while you're standing there waiting for your turn to make your sacrifice for God, while you are waiting there, if it comes into your mind that there is something wrong between you and a brother, what Jesus says is that I want you to understand there is something that you have to do first. More important than offering your sacrifice to the Almighty is first for you to go get right with your brother. Now, here is what I fear. Here's what I'm afraid of. Brethren, I'm afraid that we have fallen into a trap. The trap being that we start believing that our worship to God will cover everything else. And so we can come in here to worship God. And as we come into the house of God, We may carry with us jealousy, resentment, bitterness, and ill will toward someone else, and yet still think that our worship is acceptable in the eyes of God, and it is not. Jesus said, when you come before God and you remember that something is amiss between you and your brother, Jesus says you must put on the brakes. Stop the sacrifices. Bring the worship to a halt. Stop the worship. Jesus said, first, be reconciled to your brother. First, go get things right with your brother. First, get it right with whoever you're out of joint with. Brethren, our worship to God does not cover what it is we ought to be doing individually in our relationships with other people. Now, I'm going to say this just as plain as I can say this so that nobody misunderstands. If there is a legitimate problem, if there is a legitimate problem that is unresolved between you or a brother, then you need to understand your worship to God is nullified. It's nullified. In dealing with anger, in dealing with situations between our brethren with Christ, with each other, there are things that have got to be done, and they got to be done first. Now, I want to take this situation, and I want to talk this morning about three what ifs. There is an unresolved situation between me and my brother, me and my sister. So let's talk about three what ifs involving that situation that's unresolved between us. You understand? Number one, what if I go, but they don't forgive me? You understand it? What if I go to the one whom I have offended and they don't forgive me? Now, here's what people tell preachers all the time. They look at us straight in the face and say, preacher, we live in the real world. So you see, preachers live off in some other world. They say, preacher, we live in the real world. And in the real world, everything doesn't come wrapped up in a neat little package. So what if I offend someone and I go to that someone to get this resolved and they refuse to forgive me? What if I go and they don't forgive me? Now, There is a key word in this verse. Look at it, verse 24, Matthew 5, 24. And the key word is reconciled. The word reconcile means to make peace. Jesus says, first, you go and make peace. Now, brethren, look at me and listen to me carefully. You go to them. You love them. You go, and in your heart, you make peace with them. Now, wait a minute. When you get through, they may still hate you. When you get through and when you walk away, they may cuss you while you're walking away from them. But you make sure your heart is right. You go. You do what you ought to do. You go, and you go with the right heart and with the right attitude. Don't go rolling your eyes at them. Don't go hoping in your heart that they won't accept your forgiveness because you ain't about done hating on them. You go with the right heart and with the right attitude. You go, you make peace with them, you be reconciled to them, and however they react to it, that's on them. That's on them. What you do is on you, what they do is on them, so you do what you ought to do. Number two. Well, what if I go and they don't forgive me? You just go and do what you ought to do because that's on you. Let me give you a second what if here. What if I go and make things worse? Now, I'm going to tell you something. That can happen. I'm going to tell you something else. If you've gone many times, that has happened. Now, let me tell you why that happens. This is one of the reasons why you can go to make things right and blast everything out of water. Here's one of the reasons that happens. Whenever you offend someone, then they see you as the person who is to blame for their hurt and for their problem. I hurt and you're to blame for it. So when you go to that person and when you apologize to them, when you confess your wrong to them, then that removes the blame. So with the blame being removed, what they feel now is guilt. And they don't want to feel guilt. So now, on top of being angry at you because you've offended them, now they feel guilty about it because you have apologized, and so now they are both angry, and now they feel guilt, and now they are completely sideways with you. Now let me give you an example of this. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, David, as just a teenage boy, a young boy, defeats Goliath. When David defeated Goliath, David not only brought the victory to himself, but he brought the victory to the entire nation of Israel. So in 1 Samuel chapter 18, the troops come home from the battle of the Philistines. And the women are dancing in the street. And they're singing. And the women are singing, "Saul, who was the king, Saul has slain his thousands." And Saul says, "I like that song." Then they crack the second verse of it. "But David has slain his tens of thousands." And Saul says, "Don't like that song anymore." So the Bible says right there in 1 Samuel chapter 18 that from that time forward, Saul eyed David. And Saul allowed that little green-eyed monster of jealousy to eat him alive. And so Saul set out to kill David. And the truth is, Saul hunted David down like David was some kind of an animal. The story is in 1 Samuel chapter 24. Again, the Israelites are in battle with the Philistines. Saul goes back into a cave in order to rest from the battle and to hide himself. And back in that cave, Saul, the king, falls asleep. But what Saul doesn't know is that further back in that cave, David is in that cave. So David comes up to Saul, and Saul is sleeping. Now listen to me. Saul had hunted David like he was some kind of dog. David could have done whatever he had wanted to do to Saul right there in that cave. David could have took his sword, and just like he had done to Goliath earlier, David could have lopped off the head of Saul right there. But instead, David bent down and cut off a corner of Saul's robe and left the cave. Then later on, from a distance, David called Saul. You see this? You know what that could have been? This could be your head dangling. Now listen to me. Here's the point. Listen to me. David tried to reconcile himself with King Saul. David tried to make peace with Saul. David tried to reason with Saul, but Saul wasn't going to have any of it. And in fact, if you start reading from 1 Samuel 24, and if you keep reading, Saul's hatred for David intensifies after that. Saul wasn't going to be made peace with. Saul wasn't going to forgive him. Saul was out to get him. Now listen to me, brethren. There are some times you're going to go to people, you're going to go to them with an honest heart in order to be reconciled, in order to make peace with them, and they are not going to have it. You say, well, if I go to somebody, if I go to them and they don't forgive me and they blow up at me and this whole thing gets worse, what am I supposed to do then? What you're supposed to do then is keep your heart and your attitude right. That's what you're supposed to do. In the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, Paul says, "For as much as possible and for as much as lies within you, you live at peace with everyone." Now let me tell you something about your relationship to everybody else on this planet. In every relationship you have in this world, you only control one side of that relationship, and that's your side of it. The only person in the world that you control is the person who looks back at you in the mirror. You can't make anybody do anything else. What you can do is keep your own heart, keep your own attitude in check, and you can do what you're supposed to do, and if you do what you're supposed to do, you'll be right with God if the whole world goes to hell in a handbasket. Number three, I'm out of fix with somebody. They're out of fix with me. So I go to them to make peace, and they not have it. They don't forgive me. I go to them to make peace, and I make it worse. I make it worse. Number three. Number three is the key, because we do number three a whole lot more than we do number one and two. The third what if is this. What if, rather than going to the person, I just take it up with God? Now, in other words, I offend Cliff Russell. But instead of me going to Cliff Russell to make peace, I just pray to God about it. Now, that almost sounds reasonable. And that little sentence about taking it to God, that almost sounds spiritual. But there's only one thing wrong with it. That's not what Jesus said to do. Jesus said, if I offend someone, I am to take it up with the one that I have offended. Now let me illustrate. Walter Sims is sitting right there. Dr. Slim, right there. Now let's say Walter buys a new car. I'm going to hook you up, Walter. A Cadillac. $75,000 Cadillac. It's got everything in it. Everything. Washer, dryer. It's got everything in it. So he parks it out here in the parking lot. I pull up in the parking lot. Man, look at this. And in my admiration, I sideswipe it. Just rip right through the side of it. Now when I do that, I immediately do what you would do. I look around to see if anybody has seen me do this. Oh, you're not that pure. So I get out of the car, and I walk over to Walter's $75,000 Cadillac, and I get down on my knees right beside the Cadillac. I say, Lord, Lord, you know my heart. And you know I did not mean to just tear up Dr. Slim's car. So, Lord, I'm going to ask you to forgive me for this. This was an accident. Lord, you know it was an accident because you know my heart. Lord, forgive me for what I have done. Amen. It's settled. Nothing is settled. Nothing is settled. I did not run into God's Cadillac. I ran into His. God is not the one I offended. He's the one I offended. And what Jesus says in our text is that you must trot yourself over to the owner of the Cadillac, and you must reconcile with the owner of the Cadillac, and until you do, it's still a mess. Let me illustrate. Dwight Dooley standing in the back of the auditorium, holding that wall up. I go to Dwight Dooley today and borrow $1,000. Because if anybody in this building's got $1,000, Dwight Dooley's got $1,000. And according to his buddy on the west side, actually he's got every nickel that he's ever made. But I tell Dwight, loan me $1,000. Now this is the middle of July. And on September 1st, I'll give you $500 of it back. And on December 1st, I'll give you the other $500 back. So Dwight gives me the $1,000. Boy, this is a far outreach. But he gives me the $1,000. So September the 1st comes and goes. And I don't say a word to him. December the 1st comes and goes, and I don't say a thing to him. Now, in reality, if this really happened on September the 2nd, he'd be, "Where's my money?" But he doesn't say a word. So about February, Dwight comes to me and says, "Look, man, I lend you $1,000, and you're supposed to give me half of it back in September and half of it back in December. I haven't seen any of it." And I put my arm around Dwight and said, "Brother, you don't have to worry about this. Because on September the 2nd, I prayed to God. And I asked God to forgive me for what I had done. And brother, I want you to know I took this up with God and everything is settled." Listen, nothing is settled. Nothing is settled. I didn't get the $1,000 from God. I got it from Him. What am I saying? Not what am I saying. What Jesus is saying is this. What Jesus is saying is that if there is a legitimate complaint, if there is a legitimate unresolved issue between me and a brother or a sister, then it will prevent our worship from being what it ought to be. Jesus said, first, go be reconciled. First, go make peace. First, go get this thing right, because until we do, our worship is nullified. Now, we have come here today to worship God. But as you sit here this morning, at this moment, is there something in your heart toward a brother and sister in Christ? Is there a legitimate unresolved problem between you and a brother? Let me make this very clear. This is a great church. Some of the finest Christians, I believe, anywhere are seated right here. But brethren, let us understand clearly the one way that the devil has to destroy us is to pit one of us against another. I'm asking everyone here, I challenge you, everybody here, every elder, every deacon, every teacher, every husband, father, every wife, mother, every young person, I challenge everybody here to examine your own heart. To examine your own heart. And if there is an issue between you and somebody else, what are you going to do about it? Jesus said, first, go be reconciled to your brother. First, you go make peace. And if you go and they don't forgive you, your heart's right, the rest of it's on them. If you go and your heart's right and the whole situation gets worse, you keep your heart right and that's on them. But don't you believe that you can sidestep around them and take it up with God and it be settled. Settle your issue and settle it quickly, because when things fester, that's when things are problem. Now everybody's sitting here, you're looking at me thinking, what does he know? I don't know anything. This is not a corrective sermon. This is a preventive sermon, and there's a big difference. It's a lot easier to try to clean something up before it blows up than it is wait for it to blow up and then clean it up. Examine your own heart. Examine your own heart. And if there is something, you go make it right. If you're here this morning and if you're not a Christian, you need to become a New Testament Christian, believing with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here this morning and away from God, you need to come forward. You need to confess your wrong. You need to seek the prayers of the body and the forgiveness of God. If you're here, if you're subject to the invitation, may God help you to do the right thing, to come forward right now as together we stand and as we sing.